Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference. So we're very, very happy to have everyone on call. So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, and today's class is supposed to be by Governor Trust Prabhu, but I don't see him on the call and there's no response. So we'll try to read something from Madhya Leela. If anyone can, do we have Anishwari Lakshmi Mataji, are you around?
I'm on the call. I'm on the call. Yes.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll try to read the verses and we'll wait for Prabhu to come, and meanwhile we can share our realizations from the verses. I'll open up the verse.
Okay.
So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 114 onwards. And if any of the coordinators see Prabhu, please stop me so that we can hand over the call. So Madhya Leela, this chapter is entitled The Process of Devotional Service, chapter 22, verse 114. Vividhagna sadhana bhaktira bahuta vistara sankshepe kahiye kicho sadhananga sara. Translation. I shall say something about the various practices of devotional service which is explained in so many ways. I wish to speak briefly on the essential practices. 115. Guru prasadashraya diksha guru rasivana sadharma siksha pricha sadhu marga guna kamana. Translation. On the path of regulative devotional service, one must observe the following items. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. One must accept initiation from him. One must serve him. One must receive instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. One must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. 116. Krishna priti bhoga tyaga krishna tirte vasa yavan nirvata pratigraha ekadasho pavasa. Translation. The next steps are as follows. One should be prepared to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and one should also accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction. One must live in a place where Krishna is present, a city like Vrindavan or Mathura or a Krishna temple. One should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. One must fast on the Ekadashi day. 117. Dhatri Ashwatha Go Vipra Vaishnava Pujana Seva Nama Paradhyadhi Dhurevi Sarjana. Translation. One should worship Dhatri trees, banyan trees, cows, brahmanas, and devotees of the Lord. 11. One should avoid offenses against devotional service and the holy name. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are 10 items in the beginning of devotional service up to the point of worshipping the Dhatri trees, banyan trees, cows, brahmanas and devotees of Lord Vishnu. The 11th item is to avoid offenses while rendering devotional service and chanting the holy names. So we can say the prayers. Oh, let's do the next one also. It's 12th item. Sorry. 118. Avaishnava Sangha Tyaga Bahu Sishya Nakari Babahu Granta Kala Bhyasa Vyakyana Varjiba. Translation. The 12th item is to give up the company of non-devotees. One should not accept an unlimited number of disciples. One should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanations. Purport. Accepting an unlimited number of devotees or disciples is very risky for one who is not a preacher. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, a preacher has to accept many disciples to expand the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is risky because when a spiritual master accepts a disciple, he naturally accepts the disciple's sinful activities and their reactions. Unless he is very powerful, he cannot assimilate all the sinful reactions of his disciples and has to suffer the consequences. Therefore, one is generally forbidden to accept. One should not partially study a book just to pose oneself as a great scholar by being able to refer to scriptures. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have therefore limited our study to the Vedic literatures, to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These four works are sufficient for preaching purposes. They are adequate for the understanding of the philosophy and the spreading of the missionary activities all over the world. If one studies a particular book, he must do so thoroughly. That is the principle. By thoroughly studying a limited number of books, one can understand the philosophy. 119. Hani labe sama shoka adira vasha naha iba anya deva anya shastra nindana kariba. Translation 15. The devotees should treat loss and gain equally. 16. The devotees should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. 17. The devotee should not worship demigods, nor should he disrespect them. Similarly, the devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. Vishnu Vaishnava Ninda Gramya Varta Nashuni Ba Prani Matre Mano Vake Udvega Nadiba. 18. Devotee should not hear Lord Vishnu or his devotees blaspheme. The devotee should avoid rendering or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between men and women or subjects palatable to the senses. Neither by mind nor words should the devotee cause anxiety to any living entity, regardless of how insignificant he may be. Purport. The first 10 items are do's and the second 10 are don'ts. Thus, the first 10 items give direct action and the second 10 items give indirect action. So we can do the prayers and we can see what we have understood. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, before I start, anyone would like to say a few words about the verses that we read? Maneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, are you there?
Yes, Mataji, I'm here.
Yes, Mataji, can you just start?
Yeah, I will just start. So these different do's and don'ts that have been described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada actually elaborates on those in the Nectar of Devotion. So accepting the spiritual master. So I was just thinking, it was interesting that in the past couple of days, this whole idea of accepting a spiritual master, and then at the same time, Prabhupada says in here, one should not accept so many disciples. And recently my Guru Maharaj was giving a class, and he was explaining how it is the responsibility. We take that.
she got cut off.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, you got cut off when you were...
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it click off. So so as I said, the secret to success in Krishna consciousness is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And so, and it's interesting that this point comes up because I've heard that my Guru Maharaj mentioned that, somebody else mentioned that today, and then yesterday as I was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same... instructions by Maharaj Prudhu. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada again talks about it is very important. Let me read what it says in here. As Krishna takes away all the sinful reactions of a person immediately upon his surrender unto him, similarly, the external manifestation of Krishna, the representative of Krishna, who acts as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes all the resultant actions of the sinful life of the disciple immediately after the disciple's initiation. Thus, if the disciple follows the principles instructed by a spiritual master, he remains purified and is not contaminated by the material infection. So this is the promise or the protection that is given when we take initiation from a spiritual master. And as we see, it's interesting to note that when we were discussing, I think before, about how Dhruva Maharaj's mother, since she gave him instruction, even though she was not advanced in Krishna consciousness, because her son was an advanced devotee, that he took his mother back to the spiritual world with him. So it's interesting how this first point that's given is accepting a spiritual master. That is the primary, main point of our whole process of Krishna consciousness, that you need to accept a spiritual master. So those are just a few thoughts that came at the spur of the moment. So please, anybody else, share if you have any thoughts. Thank you, Mataji, for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Anyone else on the call? We have Supriya Mataji, Anjana Gopika Mataji, Priyanka Mataji, Nitya Kishori Mataji, and many others on the call. So anyone else would like to comment on verse number 115? I'll read the verse. On the path of regulative devotional service, one must observe the following items. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. That is number one. Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji spoke about it. Two, we must accept initiation from him. I think it's pretty much the same. Three, we must serve him. One must receive instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. And one must follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. So anyone else would like to comment on this particular verse or any realizations on accepting a spiritual master? Okay, so we'll check out the next verse. This is verse 116. The next steps are recognized. Did anyone want to say something?
Hare Krishna Mataji. I was thinking to say at some point. One must receive the instruction from these two points because in Nithya Krishna Prabhu. Yes, he was giving the class. I had a question. I mean, one must follow in the footstep of the previous acharya and follow the direction given by the spiritual master. I mean, it's very difficult sometimes to follow the previous acharya because I had a question to Prabhuji. Prabhuji was telling, because I was telling Prabhuji, it's very difficult to follow the, because in my condition, I was telling it's not easy to follow the previous acharya because their life is something, their dedication is something very high. But Prabhuji gave the very simple instruction which is given by our previous acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada had given so many instructions, and also our Guru Maharaj, they have, our Gurudev, they have given so many instructions. We just try to follow their instruction. It's difficult to understand, we just go on submissively ask and request what is that, because it's possible. Right now we have a possibility to go our spiritual master or our senior devotees, spiritual master want to do from us, all these things. If it is difficult to follow, just take the instruction from the senior devotees and then try to follow their instruction, not follow them. Means it's follow previous acharya, means follow their instruction towards study.
Very beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Anjana Gopinga Mataji. That's a very valid point, and that was a beautiful class by Nitya Krishna Prabhu also. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. So I'll read the next verse, and anyone would like to volunteer, they can throw light on this verse. 116. The next steps are as follows. One should be prepared to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and one should also accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction. One must live in a place present, like a city like Vrindavan or Mathura or a Krishna temple. One should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together, and one must fast on Ekadashi day. Anyone would like to volunteer? I know we have Shyamagauri Mataji also on call. So Vinaya Mataji is also there. So anyone? Any realizations on living in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura, or living near a temple it need not be really Vrindavan or Mathura. It can be even living close to a dham, going to a temple. And about Ekadashi fast, any comments?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah. Here it is very nicely explanation of both the basic thing, like, you know, what the basic thing we have to follow, following the Ekadashi, and following, we cannot live in the Vrindavan, but always Prabhupada lecture always tells, like, you know, wherever there is Bhagavatam recitation is there, there is itself, like, it's the Vrindavan and it's like a temple. And Prabhupada always says in the lecture, that when I remember, because we cannot live here in the Vrindavan, but we are staying in US, so, but because of the conference call like this, always our home is becoming Vrindavan. I just want to share that one point, Mataji. And the other point Mataji was sharing about the parampara. Whenever we remember about the parampara, then that time in proper lecture or Guru Maharaj lecture last 2 days back, I was hearing, then he was telling about not only just remembering about them, we should also remember what is their desire, to fulfill their desire also. Our mood should be there. Prabhupada was telling in one of the lecture, I don't remember where that I have heard. So Prabhupada was talking there how the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's desire or previous Acharya's desires should fulfill. That should be the mood of the gurus, like or the disciple, like that he was talking, Mataji. I just want to share a few points.
Yes, Mataji. Oh, did you want to say anything else, Sonia Mataji?
I want to just add one thing, Mataji, yes. that Srila Prabhupada also explains that our home can also be a temple and home can also be a holy place, because many of us don't live close to a temple. So as long as we, and as householders, we've been instructed to have deities, and our whole family life should revolve around, you know, this temple is Krishna's home. This is his home. He's the boss. And we are just caretakers of his children, which are our children, right? Caretakers of his children, caretakers of his home. And having that mood as householders makes us more makes us more Krishna conscious, helps us stay focused, stay connected.
So true. Thank you, Mataji. That's actually very true. Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. So we'll read that.
Mataji, just remember one point. It's also our consciousness. Even though we are in the Dhamma, if our consciousness is not in Krishna consciousness, that is no way to live in the Dhamma. But when you are in the home, serving Krishna, serving our family member as the servant of the Krishna, and then we can make a dharma at home. So just was thinking about the consciousness.
Yes, Mataji, that's true. Yeah, that's true, right? If where our consciousness is, that matters. It's not really so much about the physical place, but it's more about the consciousness. That's very, very true. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. So, reading the next verse, 117. Number 10, one should worship Dhatri trees, banyan trees, cows, brahmanas, and devotees of Lord Vishnu. 11, one should avoid offenses against devotional service and the holy name. Purport, there are 10 items in the beginning of devotional service up to the point of worshipping Dhatri trees, banyan trees, cows, brahmanas, and devotees of Lord Vishnu. The 11th item is to avoid offenses when rendering devotional service and chanting the holy names. So any comments on this? What is Dhatri tree? Anyone knows? Okay. So Priya Mataji and who else didn't get to speak? Priyanka Mataji. Any comments on this verse you would like to say?
Mataji, I'm here. I'm sorry, Mataji. I'm the teacher preparing something for my kids' breakfast, Mataji.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Anyone who wants to talk about this verse? Of worshipping banyan trees, cows, brahmanas, and devotees of Lord Vishnu, and avoiding offenses against devotional service.
Mataji, this Dhatri means that Amla, you know Amla? I was looking in the YouTube. I mean Google. He was a Panasari Mataji was telling to you, the Google Master, but just to find out. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, thank you. So Amla is considered very auspicious.
They were telling in the Google only. I was very.
So, of course, Krishna is Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadathaya Krishna Govindaya Namo Namaha. Both cows and brahmanas are very, very dear to Krishna. If cows and brahmanas are not well-treated, Krishna is definitely not going to be happy. So it's a part and parcel of worshipping Krishna, worshipping of cows and brahmanas. So when they are satisfied, Krishna is satisfied. So that is something that is very important. And yes, it appears that both the banyan trees as well as Dhatri trees are very, very auspicious in the worship of Lord Vishnu. That is something, yeah. And also recently we had some nice presentations on cows. The children are learning about cows in Bhakti Sangha. They're all learning about the importance of cows and cow protection. And they were composing rhymes on cows. So that gives us a feel of the importance of cows and bulls in our Krishna conscious culture. How cows actually, they are so important. Everything that comes from a cow is so auspicious. It's not just the milk from which you get butter and ghee to make, to perform sacrifices. That's why, you know, always brahmanas, they maintain cows so that they can get ghee to perform sacrifices. It's not just that. Even the urine and the stool that comes from a cow is actually very, very auspicious, so auspicious that it is used in deity worship. So we can see the importance of cows. And in fact, every part of the body of the cow is so auspicious. They say all the demigods reside in the body of the cows. And the entire cow by itself is a very auspicious animal. So cow protection is given a lot of importance. And she's also one of our seven mothers. She's also a Dhatri, right? She's, because here it says Dhatri trees. The cow is also a mother. She's one among the seven mothers. And we drink her milk every day. So by protecting cows, we can really protect our, you know, Krishna conscious society. And cows and Brahmanas, yes, Brahmanas. When a Brahmana is satisfied, immediately a Krishna is also satisfied. So they become very, very important. And we all chant about the offenses that we must not do when we chant the holy names. So the 10 offenses every day morning on the call before the class starts, we read the 10 offenses. So the 10 offenses should be very carefully avoided. It is something that we practice each and every day. Try hard to avoid the 10 offenses while rendering devotional service and while chanting the holy names. There are also offenses for deity worship that is also listed. That's a huge list. It's there in one of Srila Prabhupada's purport. He quotes from Varaha Purana about the different offenses that one may commit while worshipping the deity. I'll see if I can get that and we can read it just to meditate, you know, and try to avoid those different offenses that we may commit during deity worship. So I'm also going to Google like Anjana Gopika Mataji. That particular purport of Srila Prabhupada was very, very interesting. So list of offenses in deity worship. This is a purport of Srila Prabhupada from Canto 7, Chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. So Srila Prabhupada says, now let us discuss the offenses in deity worship. These are the following offenses. To enter the temple with shoes or being carried on a palanquin. B. Not to observe the prescribed festivals. C. To avoid offering obeisances in front of the deity. D. To offer prayers in an unclean state, not having washed one's hand after eating. To offer obeisances with one's hand. To circumambulate directly in front of the deity. To spread one's legs before the deity. To sit before the deity while holding one's ankles with one's hands. So these are all very interesting. I mean, I say that I make a lot of offenses, so this is something good that we can remember. To lie down before the deity. To eat before the deity. To speak before the deity, to address someone loudly before the deity, to talk nonsense before the deity, to cry before the deity, to argue before the deity, to chastise someone before the deity, to show favor before the deity, to use harsh words before the deity, to wear a woolen blanket before the deity, to blaspheme someone before the deity, to worship someone else before the deity, to use vulgar language before the deity, to pass air before the deity, to avoid very opulent worship of the deity even though one is able to perform it, to eat something not offered to the deity, to avoid offering fresh fruits to the deities according to the season, that is to offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which has first been given to others. Or in other words, food should not be distributed to anyone else unless it has been offered to the deity. To sit with one's back towards the deity. To offer obeisances to someone else in front of the deity. Not to chant proper prayers when offering obeisances to the spiritual master. To praise oneself before the deity. To blaspheme the demigods. In the worship of the deity, these 32 offenses should be avoided. So I hope everyone heard the 32 offenses. Something that, you know, happens without our knowing. There are many offenses that we make. So we can always think about this verse to avoid further offenses. Then in the Varaha Purana, the following offenses are mentioned. To eat in the house of a rich man. To enter the deity's home in the dark. To worship the deity without following the regulative principles. To enter the temple without vibrating any sound. To collect food that has been seen by a dog, to break silence while offering worship to the deity, to go to the toilet during the time of worshipping of the deity, to offer incense without offering flowers. This is something that I thought is very interesting, to offer incense without offering. That's why when we start deity worship, first we keep a flower and then we offer incense. So this is something we can, in case we are not practicing, we can continue to follow. Then to worship the deity with forbidden flowers, to begin worship without having washed one's teeth, to worship after sex, to touch a lamp, dead body, or a woman during her menstrual period, or to put on red or bluish clothing, unwashed clothing, the clothing of others, or soiled clothing. Other offenses to worship are worship the deity after seeing a dead body, or to pass air in front of the deity, to show anger before the deity, to worship the deity just after returning home from a crematorium. After eating, one should not worship the deity unless one has digested the food, or should one touch the deity or engage in any deity worship after eating safflower oil or hing? These are also offenses. So in other places, the following offenses are listed. I'm just reading from Prabhupada's purport. I know it's all very intense, but I'm just going to read it just for our understanding. The other offenses to be avoided are to be against the scriptural injunctions of the Vedic literature, or to disrespect within one's heart the Srimad Bhagavatam while externally falsely accepting its principles, to introduce differing shastras, to chew paan and betel before the deity, to keep flowers for worship on the leaf of a castor oil plant, to worship the deity in the afternoon, to sit on the altar or to sit on the floor to worship the deity without a seat, to touch the deity with the left hand while bathing the deity, to offer the deity with tail or a used flower, to spit while worshipping the deity, to advertise one's glory while worshipping the deity, to apply tilaka to one's forehead in a curved way, to enter the temple without having washed one's feet, to offer deity food cooked by an uninitiated person, to worship the deity after offering bhoga to the deity with the vision of an uninitiated person or a non-Vaishnava, to offer worship to a deity without worshipping Vaikuntha deities like Ganesha, to worship the deity while perspiring, to refuse flowers offered to the deities, to take a vow or oath in front of the holy name. If one commits any of these above offenses, one must read at least one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the solution. If one commits any of these offenses, one must read at least one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed in the Skanda Purana, Avanti Kanda. Similarly, there is another injunction stating that one who reads 1,000 names of Vishnu can be released from all offenses. That's why in those days they used to read 1,000 names of Vishnu to get released from all the offenses in case they make any mistakes. Of course, we know that the holy names is all encapsulating. But we don't chant the holy names just to get released from offenses. We chant the holy names for the holy names to get love of Krishna. Then in the same Skanda Purana, Reva Kanda, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulasi or sows a Tulasi seed is also freed from all offenses. Similarly, one who worships the Saligram Shila can also be relieved of all offenses. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose four hands bear a conch shell, disc, lotus flower and club, can be relieved from the above offenses. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it is said that a worshipper who has committed offenses may fast for one day at a holy place known as Shaukarava and then bathe in the Ganges. So these are the different offenses that we may commit in front of the deity. So we always read the offenses to the holy names before beginning our chanting. We read the offenses to the holy names before we begin our Bhagavatam session. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada has also given all the offenses that one may commit in front of the deity. So that was about this verse. Anyone wants to say anything about deity worship?
Yes, Mataji, I really...
Yes, Mataji!
Didn't know the we can read the whole Bhagavad Gita first chapter, or that is 1,000 names also. It can read the offenses. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. If we have time, yeah, I think we have time. We can move to the next verse that we read today.
I was just thinking, Preeti Virasini, that you know, listening to all those offenses, and we, you know, go through and see how our day goes, it's like, it seems like an impossible task.
Yes,
impossible
even I
feel to, see, you know, it's like, I mean, can you breathe? Can you not breathe? You know, it's very, very minute. But it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, you know, he has to tell us that these are the offenses. And we try to avoid them. But then he also gives a solution by, you know, we surrender everything to Krishna and we chant the holy names. And, you know, with that confidence,
right,
in the holy name, with that confidence that, you know, that we can, you know, we consciously as much as possible avoid doing any kind of, you know, wrong that we can, but then we trust that, you know, Guru and Krishna knows the intention within our heart, right?
Yes. So, and we also chant the Aparadha verses towards the end, begging for forgiveness.
Right, exactly. So just, I was sitting in this thing and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, so many.
Yeah. Anyone else has anything to add to it? Okay, so we'll go on to the next one. The 12th item is to give up the company of non-devotees. One should not accept an unlimited number of disciples. One should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanations. Yeah, I thought this is like something very good, very important also. Partially study scriptures, you know, just to prove a point. I really think that is something very important, especially in Srila Prabhupada's movement. We have to be very careful not to quote, you know, anything and everything. Just by taking one particular verse from somewhere that is kind of irrelevant and, you know, making up a story around it. So I really think this is something that was so important. And Prabhupada has always been very strict about, following Guru Parampara and quoting correctly from Shastra. So, you know, making up something just to entertain others, quoting from different places which is not relevant, which may be conflicting with the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all this has to be avoided. It is something that is very important. And I sincerely feel that this is a very important instruction that has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, anyone wants to comment on that? And also about a person accepting too many disciples. Anyone wants to comment on this particular verse? Okay. Another thing that was coming to my mind is that is, you know, by Prabhupada in the last sentence of the purport, he says that by studying limited number of books, we understand the philosophy thoroughly. That is actually very true, because immaturely, if we try to read too many books, I mean, reading too many books is one thing, but immaturely trying to read too many books and differing from the philosophy that is given by our acharyas, or ultimately digressing from the philosophy, that becomes a big problem. That's what happens to immature readers, right? Like if we try to read too many books without really grasping the philosophy or understanding the verdict of acharyas, and we get confused with so many things, and then we mix up everything and we present something that is totally unwanted. So I thought that was very instructive, this particular verse. And about, no one can, of course, in ISKCON, they are very strict. No one really immaturely takes many disciples. Only very advanced devotees who are completely capable, they take many disciples because they are able to release the disciples from sinful reactions. So again, Prabhupada has set a very beautiful system, and all our Guru Vargas are so exemplary. They are capable of taking up many devotees and also delivering them. So we are very, very fortunate to be a part of this particular Guru Parampara that is so very empowered. So I think we all, this particular birth that we have taken at this time, after the time of Srila Prabhupada, after the time of our Guru Vargas, we are actually so blessed. We are so blessed. The kind of blessing that we have is really, really rare. To be a part of this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, It is something so precious, so I think we should be very grateful to our entire Guru Parampara for giving us all.
Also, Mataji, in regards to the reading many, many books, you know, and it's also interesting how Srila Prabhupada, you know, very specifically, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, in that order, and how he explains that, you know, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, give up everything, surrender unto me. That's what the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam gives examples of different people in their leelas who have followed this process, you know. And then finally, Chaitanya Charitamrita, okay, if you don't get it, you know, they say that people learn by, some people you can just tell them to do something and they'll learn. Some people can follow different people and, you know, listen to stories about people and learn, get lessons from them. And some people actually have to do it in order to understand how to see somebody do it. So in that way, Chaitanya Charitamrita actually shows you how to be a devotee. So, you know, it shows us our progress. The books that are given in the order they are given there for the purpose to actually advance in our Krishna consciousness without unnecessary bogged down by immaterial knowledge.
Correct. So beautiful, Mataji. And also, unless we read the Bhagavad Gita, it's very difficult to understand the philosophy and Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very difficult to delve into Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they are done in order in the sense that, you know, Prabhupada often talks about, you know, preliminary study, graduate study, and postgraduate study. So he gives them in order. And when you study them in order, actually, it is more relishable, these three texts, you know, it goes very well. The understanding gets better and better. That's what I personally think. And also, our Guru Maharaj, he says that, of course, Prabhupada also says, everyone says, that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, as you said, Sarva Dharman Parityacha it finishes with Sarva Dharman Parityacha. And Srimad Bhagavatam begins with that, you know, about surrender and all that. It talks about different devotees, like you're saying. And again, Srimad Bhagavatam ends with, you know, the ultimate thing in this era, chanting the holy names in the 11th canto, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Varnam Tosha Krishnam, you know, his identity is also revealed, and that is the method in the age of Kali, because Kali is full of voice. That's how Srimad Bhagavatam ends. And then here we begin Chaitanya Charitamrita, starting off with the, you know, in Kali Yuga, how Sri Mahaprabhu appeared and he gave the holy names, and he showed by example. He came and he lived the life of a devotee and showed by example to everyone to actually show how exactly you must do this process in the age of Kali. So, very nice, Mataji. Whatever you said, I'm just expanding on that. So, how beautiful the three scriptures are put in order. It is very nice to see that. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, also I was thinking how you were telling this, we are so fortunate in this time, because after maybe 20 years, I don't know, sometime all the Prabhupada disciples, they will be not in this planet, and then we are seeing all the Prabhupada disciples. And also one time I was sharing His Holiness Sadhanath Maharaj, he was telling Maharaj, you are so fortunate, because even Prabhupada time, Prabhupada disciples, they had a kind of ego, and then they gone away because they slipped away because they didn't have proper counseling. But you have so many devotees to counsel you. You don't need to be repressed, you know. Means we can feel, in the devotee association, we can find the devotee who is we like and then associate and read, you know. And so really we are really blessed, I was thinking that here, Mataji.
So true. I am so fortunate. It's very beautiful. Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Very well said. Moving on to the next verse, 119. The devotee should treat loss and gain equally. The devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. The devotee should not worship demigods, nor should he disrespect them. Similarly, the devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. Anyone comments on this? Then I was thinking this idea of the devotee should treat loss and gain equally, and the devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. I thought this is kind of, it happens over a period of time as we practice Krishna consciousness. It doesn't happen like, you know, I'm not saying it happens suddenly or, you know, today we practice Krishna consciousness and tomorrow this happens. Or this happens all the time, but then we see by the practice of bhakti over a period of time, yes, we become more sober. We are able to treat loss and gain equally to some extent. I'm not saying that we are perfect, but then definitely this process works. And we have seen this in many of our lives before pre-Krishna, before Krishna conscious, post-Krishna conscious. I think everyone has their own experiences of how their perspective of life has changed tremendously post-Krishna consciousness. In so many ways, our perspective changes for the good. Where we understand the plan of Krishna and everything actually makes more sense. So I think the process of Krishna consciousness really works. And we can see this. A devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. A devotee should treat both loss and gain equally. So there is some sense of maturity that comes as you practice Krishna consciousness. That's something I feel. So any comments on that?
Yes, Madhuji, this last point, the devotee should not study or criticize, because in that point, there is a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. Ramakrishna Maharaj was asking the question to Srila Prabhupada about the Bible. And then he was telling, it's not like that we blame the Bible, but it's not, it means we go and study the Bible, you know. Any other scripture is we don't need to go on deep, but we just criticize also whatever Prabhupada has given. Now this scripture is enough, I think.
Beautiful. Yeah, actually that's a very good point. Very nicely said, Mataji. Thank you. Yeah, we really don't go and criticize other scriptures, or we really don't go and criticize, of course, I mean, we don't disrespect demigods either. We respect demigods, but at the same time, it's not that, you know, they are our object of worship. Rather, we are focused on the worship of Radha Krishna. So, that is something that is important. Thank you, Mataji. And then, I think this was the last verse for today. 120. Yeah. The devotee should not hear Lord Vishnu and his devotees blasphemed. The devotee should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between men and women or subjects palatable to the senses. Neither by mind nor words should the devotee cause anxiety to any living entity, regardless of how insignificant he may be. So the first 10 items are do's and the second 10 items are don'ts. And the first 10 give direct action and the second 10 give indirect action. So in this verse, we see the chief points are a devotee should never hear the blasphemy of Vishnu. Devotee should avoid all these mundane activities. And a devotee should not cause anxiety to any living entities. Any comments on these three points?
I was just thinking, Preeti Virasni Mataji, how, remember one of the Guru Maharajas was explaining that everything we take in, whatever, I think it was Bhakti Churu Maharaj was explaining how everything we take in with our senses, whatever we see, hear, eat, everything, is creating our body, our next body at the same time, at that time. So I think if you keep that in mind whenever you are distracted, and I know I can be distracted by mundane things, then I think that's like a warning that, you know, what kind of body do you want in your next life? You know, do you want to be a devotee in your next life or not? So, and Also, another thing, Ramaprasad Swami had posted one of his things, and it was saying that every single minute, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but he was saying that every time when we get distracted and we want to go either watch a serial or, you know, a TV or something else or read something else, that immediately distract your mind by doing something Krishna conscious, whether pick up a Krishna conscious book or pick up your mala or chant. You know, something immediately, and it's like I think I've given this analogy a lot of times about how, you know, when you're an alcoholic, right? And so you have a sponsor, and they tell you that if you want to take that drink, then you need to distract yourself, you need to do something else, and if, you know, and if nothing else works, then you call your sponsor and you say, you know, I need a drink, I don't want to drink, and I need a drink, so talk me through this. This couple of minutes of desire, and so in that same way, Rampada Maharaj was explaining that you should, you know, call a devotee if you have this distraction. So I was just thinking about that when you said should not, you know, listen to mundane literature and stuff like that. So just but it's like I said, it's every day. It's an every day. Every day we're going through these.
Yes.
You're tempted every day, every minute, every day, and you just got to keep constantly distracting yourself with Krishna conscious activities.
Yeah, that was practical, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we go through this every time, right? So it's so practical. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Yeah. And also, neither by mind nor words should any devotee cause anxiety to any other living entity, regardless of how insignificant he may be. So again, I don't know, I'm just reminded of the kids' classes these days. So again, in the present thing that the kids were doing was about cow protection and cow protection and vegetarian living. So the focus was, of course, about cows, and the second focus was about how you should never harm any living entity, and they learned this Vidyavaneya Sampanni. So it is so nice, right? I mean, like, it is so important, rather. And in fact, they had a class about how to treat insects with respect. So how you treat a cockroach or how you treat a mosquito, all this was kind of discussed. And I think that also comes over a period of time as we practice Krishna consciousness. It's very subtle, it doesn't happen overnight, but then it slowly, we see changes in our own lifestyles. We see that there is some change because of Krishna consciousness, the way we see others, the way we see other living entities. So that is something that comes to my mind.
Yes, Padmaji, I was also thinking same thing. Neither mind and words should be the devotee causing anxiety. Means how we try to practice every day. Yes, because unknowingly, sometimes we cause anxiety to others. But we are everyday. We are seeing how much we are trying to. Yeah, not cause any harm with anybody, means even the any living entity. That's why you were telling before time also, before verse also. It's a gradual process, but yeah, there is some hope, Mataji, the practicing.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Vinaya Mataji?
Mataji, very nice discussing, Mataji. I'm just hearing from all of you. But whenever we hear about what to be avoided in the temple and in the deity worship, is really very, very, very high level to think.
High level, Devi. Yeah, we can take one step at a time. Yes, Mataji. So, again, I just want to call out devotees. Rita Mataji, do you have any realizations you want to share? Rita Mataji, Priyanka Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Rita Mataji.
Mataji, DT worship offenses, I was not knowing all this. I'm doing DT worship at home. Mataji, I have one question. So, like if any elderly person is doing any offense, like in front of DT, so should we tell them anything, or how should we react, Mataji?
Sure. This is a, we have an expert on call, Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. She deals with all kinds of people. So she will give the correct answer.
Wait, what was the question? I just heard elderly person. I didn't hear the beginning.
So her question, because even I have this question, I also undergo this several times and I don't know how to react. So her question is, when you have an elderly person with you and they are worshipping their deity at home and they make offenses, should you know that it is an offense and you have to correct them or you should not correct them? How should you react to them?
Well, right then, don't correct them. So that's the one thing, because I have had this, and then you don't say I know, you say ipolel, you say I have heard that this is that you're not supposed to do this like this, whatever it is, and then so like I said, not at the time in front of the deities, you don't want to do that because you don't want a discussion or an argument going on there. After it's done, you say, you know, I was just noticing this, and I had heard before that. You shouldn't be, that this is not how you do it. And that's it. You don't, that no more correction than that, in my opinion. And then hopefully there'll be a discussion point coming up. And they say, oh, really? I didn't hear it that way. And then you go and research it together. And then hopefully you'll come to the appropriate answer. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, sometimes, I mean, to add on to Priyanka Mataji's question, sometimes I'm so scared to say anything. Supposing it's your mother-in-law, I'm just giving an example, not to take it to a personal level, but then I won't even say anything. I'm like so scared and I don't know. I tend to just avoid the situation and move away from there because I don't want her to think that I'm intruding, you know, or hurt her ego. So then what should I do? Like, I don't know. And at the same time, I feel like telling at some point that, maybe, oh, I read this and this is what it is. But how do you present that thing, Mataji? Like, how do you bring up the talk? If it's supposing it's your mother-in-law, then what do you do?
I'm sorry. Got distracted. Tell me again.
No. I don't know if I'm asking this question correctly. Supposing, okay, this is a situation you're serving with your mother-in-law. And you know that, you know, there is one thing that probably that is not according to the prescribed rules or, you know, there is some deviation. And it would be nice if, you know, she does it properly. But then she's your mother-in-law, so you wouldn't tell her anything, right? Like out of, I don't know, out of respect or out of, you know, the fear of hurting her ego. Generally, I don't tell anything. But then I think about it. How am I going to tell her? How am I going to tell her? And then
no,
I
but
end up telling her at all.
I didn't hear the last, but you end up telling her?
I don't end up telling her at all. I just leave it.
Oh, at all is what you said.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. In that kind of situation, too, same thing. You don't bring the situation to the fore at the time it's happening. Because number one, you're in front of the deities, and if the discussion is happening, you don't know if it's going to escalate into something.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I say afterwards, you when you come outside, then you would say, by the way, I heard that, you know, I saw you do this like this, but this is what I heard, this is how you do it. And then there she'll say, oh, well, this is the thing. She may say, oh, I didn't realize that. And then you can discuss it, and you can go and think of, you know, research, whatever. And so this is where I read it, and this is how I, from my understanding. And if she agrees with you, well and good. If she doesn't agree with you, and she still thinks, no, this is the right way, then you can't do anything. Then it's out of your hands.
Mm.
So that's, that is from personal experience. That's how I have dealt with it.
Will that be an offense to her? That's how, you know, I'm scared of. That's
I don't think it, no, see, the thing is that I don't think, you know, I think if you say it in a way, I think it's in a way you say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And also, you know, the relationship that you have with your, you know, mother-in-law can also, you know, if she is one to take quick offense and say, you know, and I'm not criticizing you, and please forgive me if I have, you know, hurt you or if I've offended you in any way, but this is what I have heard. So, you know, stating that fact there, you know, very humbly, you know, our mood is what is very important.
Right.
You can't go in there saying, "Well, I heard," and you know, I think you're doing it wrong. That this is not going to work.
Correct.
This is not appropriate.
Very, very true. Yeah.
Right. So mood and intention is the most important.
Mm. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very nice discussion, but I don't know whether this is right answer or wrong answer, but the other day we were talking with the Vaneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, and then this topic also came, and then we were talking like this also, like if there is anything scriptures written that, you know, this is what right and this is what wrong, you can take and we can sit there and together we were pretend like reading that, and that topic come out there, and then there is written, right, Mataji, what is right and what is wrong. You are not saying it's wrong or right.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture is saying, so you can bring out that also. Maybe I might be wrong, Mataji, but it came out in my mind. I just wanted to share.
Yeah, you're right, Mataji. There's nothing wrong in that. Yeah, thank you, Zaniya Mataji.
Very true.
Anyone else wants to ask or say anything? If not, we'll end the call. So we are out of time now. So thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for joining. And this was a very, very sweet discussion. Very beautiful class, actually. I love the class. Thank you.
Mataji, I have a question, Mataji. So there are so many rules regarding deity worship. So many things we have to follow. And I have a question, are these rules are pertaining to home also, Mataji, or this in temple, Mataji? I have heard there are some kind of a little bit liberation regarding the home deity.
There is some relaxation with home deities, that is true. But we can strive to, you know, improve the home deity worship also. Of course, yes, it's more relaxed because it's at home, right? So it's more relaxed. And the exact standards that is followed in the temple deity worship. Maneshwari Mataji, do you want to say anything about it? Mataji?
Did you say Maneshwari? I didn't hear you said me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think that there are certain things that, you know, we should be aware of, things that we can avoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things we can avoid, like, was lying down in front of the deities, you know, putting our legs in front of the deities, those kind of things. As far as, obviously, not all of us will be initiated, so, you know, only initiated people should be doing the offering. All those kind of different ones that are more elaborate and specific, those things, I think, you know, there's more leeway. But things that can be avoided, obviously, arguing in front of the deities.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was, as you mentioned that, I was thinking, you know, crying before the deities. But we have instances where we do cry in front of the deities. You know, we have different devotees who, you know, lamenting in front of the deities. So that's a question I have. What does that mean exactly? So, but otherwise, you know, the things that can be avoided, like I said, you know, coming in with your shoes, coming in on a palanquin, you know, and you know, touching the deities without washing and all that stuff. Those things, they should be avoided at home, definitely.
And Mataji, regarding a boga offering, so sometimes on weekdays and Saturdays also, I offer boga and I eat the prasadam and I make the lunch and. If I offer, is it fine or should I take again bath and do with fresh cloths? Or what are the rules in home to boga offering, Mataji?
I think those, Mataji, certain things, it depends. You know, if you've passed stool or stuff, you don't want to be doing that. You should be changing. They should be showering after that. But other things, and you know, as far as changing clothes and taking a bath, that's not necessary, in my opinion, in the home deities. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you should definitely wash every time.
Yeah, wash your hands and mouth. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wash hands, mouth, feet. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And while cooking, also, Mataji.
if by accident can we keep something in our mouth, or we should be like, what are the rules? Because if we do any kind of service in temple, we are not supposed to eat or chew something in our mouth. So same is the process in our home cooking while you are offering bhoga to deity also, Mataji.
I honestly think it's a very good practice to start cultivating that. Again, I mean, like, you may not be able to do it tomorrow itself, but over a period of time, you know, like, you know, slowly it comes. It comes within a year of you, you know, starting this process. You will definitely not eat when you, or chew something when you're cooking. It will happen automatically. Unless the situation is very bad, like you're so hungry, you're about, like, you know, you just can't take it. Then you can step out, wash your mouth and get back, you know. But generally what happens over a period of time, naturally that practice like if you try from today, I'm saying the next 1 year, naturally that practice gets inculcated within you. It becomes natural over a period of time. You will not even think of you know, eating during that time. It'll happen. Just wait and see.
Thanks for the suggestion, Mataji. Sure. I will try to inculcate, Mataji.
Because I remember initial days when I just started, you know, this process, I was not perfect, but then I saw that naturally it became like, you know, a regular thing where I wouldn't, you know, when you're cooking, you're just cooking for Krishna and you would refuse to eat anything, even if someone asks you to eat. You'll be like, wait, hold on, I'll finish this and then come. It'll come naturally. If you're conscious about it, it comes naturally over a period of time.
Yes, correct, Mataji. Yeah, while cooking, I used to eat like some fruit, bananas or something, and I got a thought, is it proper to eat while cooking also? Thanks, Mataji. Thanks. And Mataji, regarding there is another point that we should not worship deities at night. So, is there any particular time, like after 9, after 10, we should stop worshipping, or we should not do arati? Is there any particular time, Mataji?
I don't know. I think I don't know. anyone wants to say about this?
I don't know, Mataji, but what happened? I also do sometimes, because the rule is given here, we should not worship deity after eating, yes, or we should worship deity after food, digestion, maybe morning, if you are not eating any food, if you are want to worship, maybe that is applicable before, maybe if you are not taking any food, anything, maybe 11 to 11, 10, like that. I don't know. I do, generally I do, sometimes it's late also for me, 10 o'clock, so like Ekadashi day, sometimes it's very late because we are not eating, and I do a little bit late time also.
Yes, thanks, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thank you so much.
And also, I think even in, correct me if I'm wrong, even in the temple, we do arati, like, you know, so, like 5 times, 6 times or something, right? Like, the temple also.
Yeah,
so,
in our Christian
I don't
temple,
understand.
I think, Mataji, what that is referring to is that, the deity should have a regularly scheduled, what do you call it? Prayer, you know, whatever, arati. So you do morning puja. You do morning puja, and then you do an offering, you know, and then evening you put the deities to bed. You put the deities to bed, you know, and so after the deities are put to bed, you don't go in, you don't wake them up, and this kind of stuff. So it should be regulation, is I'm thinking this is what this means, regulation.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you.
There's, you know, systematic, it has to be, we have to understand that this is the king, okay? Remember, we are worshiping Lakshmi Narayana. This is the king. These are deities. When we say deities, this is the king. This is his house. So exactly how you would treat the king, how would you behave in front of the king or the president? Or the president, you know, and whatever, king, president. How would you treat them? I think king is more appropriate than president. So how would you treat the king and the queen? You know, you won't wake them up all hours of the day and night. You're not going to feed them all whenever you want, you know. There's going to be some regulation. So I think we keep that in mind. That will guide us in our process of devotion.
Thank you, Mataji. song.
Mataji, one time I was hearing the class by Vaishnava Prabhu. You were telling, some devotee was asking, I think Sukeshwari Mataji was asking the question to Prabhuji. Prabhuji was telling at home, because according to your schedule, you can put the, some certain time for the Lord, if you want to do, and then according to your schedule, you can make a certain time and what time you want to do offering, what time you want to do the sitting, like that we can make a certain kind of a standard, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Generally, they say after you welcome the deities, you kind of make that standard of your deity. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Temple is perfect. Temple worship is, it should be perfect, na? Six time offering everything. Arati is in perfect time. And at home, we have kids, our husband, everything, whatever is easy, we can do in that way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thank you, Praneshwari Mataji. Thank you, Priti Mataji, for having clearing my mind in this, all these questions, Mataji. For so many days, I have these questions running in my mind. I'm very lucky to have this class and to clarify all my doubts, Mataji. Thank you so much to each and every Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for participating. It was so nice to do the session with, you know, all of us. Talking, it was very nice. Thank you. Okay, we'll end the call. So thank you again. So we stopped at 1:20, and tomorrow we have, I think, Ram Giridhari Prabhu, and he will continue from 1:21. We can end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Deshcha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnav Rindaki Jaya Shana Prabhu Pad Ki Jaya Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jaya Shri Van Mahaprabhu Ki Jaya All the devotees Ki Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Thank you, Vrinda. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vrinda. Hare Krishna.